Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Can We Talk Fridays. I am your host, Raz Williams, coming to you live every Friday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Guys, you can hit us up at 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Or you may email us at canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. Well, guys, again, I want to give a shout-out to those who have been listening to our podcast and supporting the show. I just want to say keep listening, keep supporting the show. We need your support. You can access our podcast at any time and listen to them or download them to your iPods or iPads or tablet PCs and phones and take us with you on the go. Take Can We Talk with you on the go in your cars, as you're training in the gym, and different, it's just, you know, different scenarios. Just take us with you. So, guys, you know, spread the word, man. And you know, if you know anyone that might benefit from our show as we discuss different topics, definitely let them know. And that's my comment. Well, guys, you know, if I'm going to say this. Ask anyone who knows me, who really, really knows me, and they'll tell you Raz likes to see progress. I want to see consistent movement forward. And frankly, for me, the faster the better. It is in large measure the way God made me. I suspect I'm not alone in this regard, but with this personality type comes a danger. It is very easy for us to get frustrated and anxious while we're waiting for God to bring something to pass in our lives. When God shows you something wonderful he wants to do in your life, when he gives you a vision or a promise, that season of time before it becomes a fully manifested reality can seem a miserable eternity. The truth is, though, there is a solid biblical principle at the heart of what I'm saying. And that is to let go and let God. At the end of the day, it's simply about following the command of 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. To move out of God's waiting room to see the promises, visions, and dreams he has given you to come to pass, you're going to have to learn to cast your cares upon God. That's often easier said than done. Time and again, God tells us in his word that learning to let go is a key to him being able to do great things in our lives. Essentially, God can't act on our behalf until we learn to let go. As long as you're consumed with trying to make things happen in your own power, in your own strength, in your own ability, on your timetable, you're not trusting God. And trust, guys, is the fact that you have to have in place in order for God to move on your behalf. Time again, in various ways, the word encourages to let go and let God. For example, in Philippians 4:6, we read, "Be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, quit worrying about it. This is the challenge of dealing with the soulish part of our humanity. So that's what led me to do today's show, guys. The title of today's show is titled, Learning to Let Go and Learning How to Move On. I want to give a shout-out to Sonia Shari in Maryland. I think she's on the line today. I want to give a shout-out to KV in D.C. I want to give a shout-out to Raheem in the ATL. And I also want to give a shout-out to all the West Indian Americans back in the NYC. It's the annual 2013 West Indian American Carnival. And, man, I wish I was there right now. And hopefully Ronnie's supposed to be on the line. He's representing Haiti. So, well, guys, let me go ahead and introduce our co-host for today's show. And I think we have Nikki in the building. Nikki, how you doing?
I'm fine, Raz.
Good, good, good. So, Nikki, what do you think of today's title? And have you had to deal with wanting to let go or moving on from your, from something in your own life?
I think that today's title is necessary. The topic that we're talking about is necessary. And, of course, I've had to deal with learning to let go of quite a few things. I'm a mother. I'm just a human being with emotions. So, yeah, I've had to learn to let go a lot of things, but I had to learn to let go and for God to move as well.
Absolutely. My next co-host needs no introduction. She's back in town, and mind you, she has a busy schedule, but we are always so thankful to have her back on Can We Talk Radio. Dr. Lorraine Klein, how are you, ma'am? And Dr. Lorraine, what do you think of today's topic, and why do you think it's so relevant?
I think it's a great topic because I think that at every turn in life, it feels like we're letting go of something. It doesn't always have to be bad. Sometimes we're letting go of one job to start a new job, one relationship to start a new relationship. But I think we have difficulty sometimes in letting go. So I think it's relevant to a lot of areas in our life.
Absolutely. And next we have a buddy of mine, John Ingalls. John is new to Can We Talk Radio, but he's a good friend of mine and has a unique gift of simplifying godly wisdom and applying it to everyday life. So, John, it's good to have you on Can We Talk Radio. What do you think of tonight's topic?
I really like tonight's topic for myself because when we hang on to things, God can't move. And when we choose to just trust in Him and give Him our lives, the things He can do for us and the places He can take us are something that we could have never done on our own. And we could fight with everything we have to get somewhere, but it's so much easier when we just let go and let God take us there because He takes us places that we can't get ourselves to, no matter how hard we try.
Absolutely, John. That's wonderful, and it's good to have you on Can We Talk. Well, guys, you know, actually, I want to I think Sonia's on the line. Sonia, you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you guys doing tonight?
Awesome, Sonia. How you doing? All the way from Maryland. Sonia, which part of Maryland are you from?
I'm from Silver Spring, Maryland, but my home is Auburn, Alabama.
All right. Good to have you on the show, Sonia. So, Sonia, what do you think of tonight's topic?
Oh, my God, it's so typical. I just had this most emotional telephone conversation today about letting go with a formal relationship, so I'm ready to learn.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, guys, if you're listening in for the first time, we're talking about letting go and moving on, learning how to let go and move on. And, guys, the number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number, again, is 347-945-7310. Dr. Lorraine, I want to ask you a question, and I wanted to ask you, why do you think it's so hard for people to learn to let go and move on in life?
Well, I think it's hard because we're very comfortable in our settings and where we're at and the relationships we're in, and it's familiar, and it's hard to let go because that means things are going to change, and there's the uncertainty and the fear of the unknown. And when you're walking with the Lord, if you're not really trusting that He's the one directing your path and He's leading, it's going to take you to a place of that fear. And I think that's why it's difficult. In most situations, people have a hard time letting go.
Absolutely. Same question to you, John.
For me, I think letting go is kind of what was touched on, is we get in that comfort zone where letting go is change, and change brings tension and fear, and that brings uncertainty. Is it going to be better? Is it going to be worse? Is the grass really greener on that other side? And in that, there has to be a trust and a faith in something, and when people don't have that secure backing, it's not easy to take that step, so they tend to get stuck in that rut. I mean, I see it with people that I know growing up. They've had the same job, the same life, the same destructive pattern, but it's comfortable. And no matter how much you tell them it's, you know, their problem, they want to hang on to it. And it's like, man, it's sad. And we get stuck in those ruts too. And it's ultimately that unwavering faith that takes us to that next level.
Absolutely. Excellent point. You know, guys, I want to draw your attention to 1 Samuel. And I read this in doing some research for tonight's show, and I noticed something that I never had seen before. In this passage, Saul has been God's anointed king of Israel, but he's not making the grade. Saul's failure has become a painful thing for the prophet Samuel, who had been instrumental in Saul's selection. I'm sorry. Samuel was the one who anointed the man, and he had counseled and advised Saul, and he had hung in there with him through all his downward spirals of sins and leadership blunders. But now Saul had completely failed, and Samuel was taking it personally. In 1 Samuel 16, the Lord says to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him for reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." The good news is that the plan of God is never dependent on one person or one individual's obedience. God always has an alternative. He never makes his plan subject to human will. Sure, God wanted Saul to succeed. He gave him the opportunity and the anointing and the calling. It was his highest and best will that Saul succeed, but Saul did not. It was Saul's choice. Does this mean that God's plan failed? No. God had another plan, but he had to call Samuel's attention to it, which is why he said, "Quit mourning. Go fill your horn with oil and get moving." We can apply the same truth to our lives. Even if you've experienced failure or mistakes in your past, you can still fill your horn with oil of anointing, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and get moving. God's got another plan. And that's so important for that. So those of you right now who are out there crying over a broken relationship or a boyfriend or a divorce or something, someone left your life, God is too wise to allow someone's choices to affect your destiny. Nikki, what do you think about my comment?
I think you're absolutely right on the money. The thing is that what the Holy Spirit was revealing to me the last week or two is that that if we're made in God's image, then letting go shouldn't be as difficult as it is, but the problem is that we allow our emotion to take over, and God is a loving God. God is also a jealous God, but God is not a God that's led by his emotions like we are. We get caught up in our emotions, and you know, it causes us to go into having destructive behavior, being disobedient, like the prophet was doing, mourning too long over something that you should move on about. I mean, if God was that type of God, half of us would be dead, if not all of us. If God got an attitude because Satan left heaven or because Satan got kicked out of heaven and he felt such a loss and couldn't let go, then where would the rest of us be? So it's like it's like the light bulb came on, and we have to be conscious and let the Holy Spirit lead when it comes to things of brokenness, because we can't allow our emotions to rule. Satan knew how to manipulate through music, and music a lot of times, most times, interacts with your emotion, and we all know that he was the minister of music in heaven. So he's a professional at manipulating emotion. So a lot of times, us as believers, we're not even paying attention to that, that our emotion, we feel like, okay, we're just going through it. We're going to let this thing take its course. No, I mean, you grieve and you keep it moving. So I think your statement was right on.
Absolutely. That's an excellent point, Nikki. I want to talk about one of my points that I have for the structure of tonight's show, and that's point number one, which is holding on to something that God has already done with. I'm going to say that one more time. Holding on to something that God has already done with. Sometimes in our lives, guys, we hold on deliberately to something or someone when God wants us to let it go. A couple of things happen as a consequence of this. First, when we are still involved with something that God has done with, then we are missing God's next big thing for us, for our lives. If our attention is where we want it instead of where God wants it, we're off track. Secondly, if you're not letting go of something God has done with, you're no longer operating under His grace, which is really important. We're, in fact, on our own. If God didn't complete it, what makes you think that you can complete it on your own? John, what do you think about that comment?
I think it's kind of funny. I think one of the reasons why we have so many storage units, people, you know, we can't let go, we can't move on. We put all this stuff in boxes and we hang on to it for years and years. It's like same thing with our lives. We hang on to these things and we can't let it go and can't get past it. We can't move on. It starts being destructive patterns. It's easier to just say, hey, you know what, God's dealt with this, or I've promoted myself past this. It's like when God opens doors and He gives us an opportunity to something new, people tend to have problems moving forward in that. They want to stay back at where they were before. And it goes back to that, we're comfortable here. And it's kind of hindering God at what He has for you. You got to let go of that, move forward. It's just sometimes, like even with relationships, people get brokenhearted when someone left, and it ultimately might just have been a stepping stone to prepare your heart for what that next person is that God's preparing for you. Because in the midst of losing something, you figure out what means a lot to you, and you realize that what was there wasn't what you were supposed to be with. So in the midst of loss, there's a lot of growth too, but we tend to hang on to those things even though we don't need them, and God's already put those past us. It's kind of like how we go back to our old habits. It's the same type of scenario. It becomes destructive, and it's not needed. In that newness, we can grow even farther and be refreshed and be renewed and have a whole better life. But sometimes it's just not that easy.
Absolutely. That's an excellent point. My second point is pride. Pride can keep us from moving on and letting go. And I call this silly pride that keeps us from moving forward. Pride can be a dangerous thing, guys. Pride thinks he can do it on his own. Pride doesn't care what others think. Pride knows best. Pride is easily offended. Pride holds on to things God already let go of. Pride leads to disobedience. Pride leads to idolatry. Because if we set a certain thing or activity ahead of God or refuse to give it up when God is finished with it, then we're setting it above God. Lorraine, what do you think about that comment?
Well, you know, obviously I think that's accurate. I think pride gets in the way, and I think the key point you said was when we try to do it on our own, and it all comes back to not trusting God and not believing that God said He's going to complete what He has finished. So we start something, or God opens up doors, or He starts things, and then we take over and we take control, and we don't allow God to be God in those situations because pride takes over. And so I think it's very accurate what you said.
Absolutely. And Dr. Lorraine, in dealing in your practice, do you deal with a lot of people who suffer from pride, as far as that's part of the reasons or one of the main reasons why they find it so hard to let go?
You know, I wouldn't say so much that it's pride as it is probably more fear. I think really the root of a lot of reasons why people will not move forward or let go of old relationships or old habits or whatever it is it's their fear. It's they're afraid to let go of a coping mechanism that they've had that has always worked, or they're afraid to let go of a relationship because it's familiar to them and at least they know what to expect, even if it's not healthy or it's not good. So I really see it not so much as pride as it is that fear component and that desire to be in familiar, whether it's good, bad, it doesn't matter to them. It's more difficult for people to trust that God really does love them as much as He says He does, that He really did give His life for them and He has a new life for them. it's very hard because it's not something tangible that they can see. So they're constantly going back to their old filters of looking at life through the things that they've had happen to them or their experiences, and not stepping out in faith and trusting that God, they're a new creation, and God has a purpose and a plan for their life, and He is directing their path. But they take a step out, and kind of like Peter, they get out on the water and they realize, oh, wait a minute, and then they panic, and then they, you know, lose sight. So it's really, I think, more of the fear factor.
Absolutely. That's a good point. Here's my point number three, and that's unhealthy dependencies and unequal relationships. God created all people with a healthy desire to depend on others in various forms of relationships. On the job, you depend on your coworkers to achieve company goals. At home, you depend on your family members to do the same thing. You know, keep, you know, do their fair share of, you know, housekeeping and livable, and, you know, so the house and the home is livable and peaceable. And in the church, we depend on our brothers and sisters for encouragement and support in doing the work of the ministry. And even in marriage, there is a certain dependency on a spouse to do their part in making the marriage what it should be. But sometimes, guys, relationships can cross over the line of normal dependency and become a dangerous, addictive, and sometimes even sinful. Codependency is a clinical sense, is a psychological condition or a relationship in which a person is controlled or manipulated by another person affected with a pathological condition. Codependency negatively affects your emotions, attitudes, and value systems because you allow another person to think and determine what is right for you. Codependency can also be known as soul ties. An ungodly soul tie occurs when there is an unlawful captivation of another person's will, or the relinquishing of one's will to another. Nikki, what do you think about that point, and how do you think that unhealthy dependencies prevents us from truly letting go, especially in relationships?
Well, the thing is that, like you said, it's the, when we're looking at it in the spiritual, it's the soul tie, and if it's an unnatural, ungodly soul tie, how can we be free? I mean, if you are bound and in chains and a prisoner of something, only way that you can move on is if you're set free of that thing. So therefore, if someone has a unnatural codependency on somebody else, or vice versa, they can't even, for lack of better term, they can't see the forest for the trees. They can only, you know, they're only seeing, they're in idol worship of this situation. This has become, you know, their God. And a lot of times we don't like to look at things as idol worship. We don't like to say out of our mouths that we put this situation before God. But when you're codependent on someone, then that's exactly what's happening. And God is not about unhealthy sickness and all of that. So if it's not God, then who is it? It's Satan. There's no in between. So that's my word on your statement.
Absolutely. Okay, that's a good point. I was going to see if John had anything to add to that.
Codependency in especially the form of relationship is a very slippery slope. The problem with that is if it's not equally minded or not equally focused on, say, like a foundation of faith in Christ, the one when there's only two, if one is of Christ and one is not, usually that strength of that not being with Christ will kind of gravitate that direction. It could take a relationship that was Christ orientated in the beginning and kind of put it on a dangerous slope where they start finding their values being degraded and finding things that they're getting involved with that aren't honoring to God. And then it creates a dysfunctional setup, and then it gets to a dangerous arena where they're finding themselves engaging in things that isn't healthy, and unfortunately it tends to probably break up a lot more marriages and relationships than need to. And even in like the workplace, we're designed to be independent but in unison with each other to create these common goals. So if anyone's esteemed too high and that person be put on a platform, if they're not in a situation or relationship that's positive and moving forward and have belief systems that we're designed to have from Christ, it ends up being a bad scenario, and then you end up leading people into dangerous situations that's unhealthy. So codependency on anything outside of Christ can be a very dangerous situation.
Absolutely. And here's my next point, guys. I just mentioned something really my last point about soul ties, and I really want Nikki to and Dr. Lorraine to really let's really dig into this topic, because I think this is a really important point I'm about to make here. And the point four is letting go of soul ties. And I've identified that many people are locked into relationships that they know they shouldn't be in, but don't know how to get out. You know, years of relationships with people who engage in manipulative tactics to satisfy their insecurities at your expense, or, you know, those build up strongholds. And strongholds are the exchange of, you know, they could be sexual bonds, spiritual bonds, ingrained in somebody's soul. Some people never fully move on or may find themselves stuck because they have not severed relationships with particular people that God wants them to sever. And I think that's a very dangerous thing. Nikki, what do you think about soul ties in somebody's mind preventing them from letting go?
Well, it just goes back to, once again, to me, with our emotion ruling and reigning, and us wanting what it is that we want, coming from a believer's standpoint, this is why it is so necessary to lay everything out before the Father. This is why it's so necessary to make sure you have a daily devotional time with just you and God. And we're supposed to come out from among them. We're supposed to have a renewing of our mind. But a lot of times what believers do, especially quote-unquote contemporary believers, they accept Christ or a form of it, but they still have worldly reactions to things, and they still indulge in worldly things. They gratify their flesh still instead of crucifying it. And when there is a soul tie is spiritual. And if you're not cognizant, and the only way you can be cognizant of a spiritual attack is if you are in the Father's face. A lot of times what people do is, even when they've become conscious of what's going on, it's like John said, it's the being comfortable in the situation. I rather know than not know. What I mean by that is, I understand the hurt, the pain, what's not good for me here, but in a new situation, you know, I don't know what the unknown brings. And like Dr. Lorraine said, it brings fear. So, therefore, by it being a spiritual situation, when you do try to, when God is setting you free from the soul tie, because it is a process, it takes work to get your emotions right, to bring them under submission of the Father, to get your flesh in order, because you've opened up the door to so many other things, and now when God is getting you straight, a lot of times it can be instantaneous. But there's a process, because there was a process that you went through to be bound to that thing willingly. So it's just you have to be cognizant of it, because when God is trying to bless you, Satan will definitely bring you not one, not two, but a lot of times he'll bring you many counterfeits. And to pull you off the mark, you know, you may think you know the word, you may know the word. But the thing that he plays games with will be your emotion. And if we're talking about in relationships, whether it be a family relationship or intimate relationship, you know, us as human beings, we are made to to want to have companionship and to be loved. God himself even said, it is not good for man to be alone. But we have taken the reins from God and tried to make things the way that we desire. But God can see down the street and around the corner, and we can't. So, I mean, we have to stay in his face if you're a believer.
Absolutely, that's an excellent point. Dr. Lorraine, I want to ask you this. Nikki just really said some really insightful points there. What would you say to people who are struggling in the sense of relinquishing relationship? That person is in their spirit. They can't release that person from their spirit, or you know they've been going back and forth in a relationship for years, or perhaps they're in an unhealthy relationship and have no way of getting out, or they're in an intimate sexual relationship, you know, outside of the will of God, and with someone, although they know it's wrong, they want to please God, but they simply can't resist the desire to stay involved with that person. You know, perhaps they're tormented in their mind. What would you say to that person, Roy?
Well, there's a lot of people, unfortunately, in that situation, and I believe, honestly, that the enemy starts when we're kids, and there are things that experiences that we have that cause us to see relationships a certain way, see ourselves a certain way, and as we continue through life, that lie gets reconfirmed in us. And when I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about the issue of codependency. If people are in unhealthy relationships, if they're in relationships that are not God-honoring and they're struggling with that, there's typically something that the enemy is using, some lie that they're buying into that is keeping them held into this situation or this relationship that they aren't getting released from, whatever that lie is. You know, they have to stay with this person. They're not good enough to find anybody else. They don't deserve better than what they have. They deserve to be talked to that way or treated that way. The lies come in many different shapes and forms. But the bottom line is it's the lie that people are living their life by. And Jesus wants to set people free from that because that's not the truth. And so when I'm working with people, we first have to look at where they're at in their relationship with God and who they really are in Christ and what the lie of their past is versus where they're at now, because there's a healing process that God wants to take them through. Because the truth is, if they get out of that unhealthy relationship and they really don't understand why they're drawn to that type of a person anyway or what's going on in their life that causes them to be involved with those type of people, unhealthy, then they're going to continue to make the same choices and repeat history all over again. It may look like a different person, it may look like a different relationship, but as time goes on, they're going to see a lot of the similarities of unhealthiness are going to start coming through again. So that's kind of where, when I'm working with somebody, that's where I go, is kind of where they're at, where they see themselves, what their self-image is, what was some of the lies that they received as messages when they were growing up that they are still believing and they haven't let go of yet and let God's truth replace.
Absolutely. That's an excellent point. Point number five that I have written down for tonight's show is learning to let go of the past. And I think that's so important that every one of us can really relate to him. I believe that too many people, too many Christians especially, are bound up in their past. And as a result, they cannot fully live in their present. Before you can really start to move forward in your divine destiny with the Lord or in your life, you will first have to learn how to let your past fully go. Bottom line is you have to learn how to let fully go of your past before you can start to proceed full steam ahead in your destiny. If you do not learn how to let go fully, you will stay stuck and grounded right where you are at. And you will never fully accomplish everything that God would have in store for you in your life. And that would be an internal regret for you. I mean, imagine that, just living in regret. That's something I personally do not want to do. When you know, for those of you who are listening who are believers and you get to heaven and God shows you how much more you could have accomplished for him in this life had you allowed him to unchain you from your hurtful past. The choice is yours, guys. I mean, we choose everything in this life. Everything we do is a choice. You can either choose to stay fully bound up in your past, continue to throw your pity parties and blame everyone else for your miseries, or you can choose to rise up and make a brand new, fresh start with the Lord by choosing to fully surrender your entire life in his hands and then work with him to get your past fully cleaned up so that you can start to fully live in the present again. this comment is to you, John, because John, I know, and if you don't mind, I hope you don't feel mind, you know, sharing a bit of your testimony to the listeners out there tonight. But you've overcome a lot of obstacles in your life, and I think it's important to share with our listeners tonight and how you overcame your past.
Okay, I agree with what the doctor was talking about just a minute ago, and I'll try and summarize up a little bit what's happened in my life. We're all a product of the sin, and until we break that generational curse and turn it into a generational blessing, it does make a huge difference on where our lives go and what we become, either right away or after God gets us. I know with my life, you talk about hanging on to the past and not letting go and living with regret. I understand a lot of these things, and my story is pretty crazy. I grew up in a really broken home with an abusive dad, a mom that was kind of disconnected, just did work to provide for us. We got tore apart from our family at a young age. It just was a bad environment. I lived with my mom, who was never really there. And in that, you know, with the father, you find your identity. When your dad's not there, you tend to not have that. So at a young age, I kind of got thrown out of the house. Found my way into a drug family that took me in. And in the midst of that, I had a stepdad for a little bit of time, and he got me racing BMX. And, you know, God had blessed me with a lot of talent, and we found that out real quick. And I never took it real serious because this drug family brought me in, and that was my life, and that was my income. And that became my family, hundreds and hundreds of friends and connects through drugs. And I thought I was home there. And so I never took BMX serious. I won a lot of championships. I won a couple gold medals, a world championship title, got an X Games medal. So I was good, but never took it serious. And I still live with that regret of, man, why'd I never try? But I've had to let that go. And I got to tell you guys out there that in that letting go, that sometimes God can bring you back into those things, maybe not as that competitive athlete because now you're older, or you've got injuries or whatever it is that you're going through, but God can still put you there, give you a team, give you some little ones to raise up in those things and to help them not fail in those places you failed, because that's where my heart goes out, is the next generation and the kids. I talked to a young guy down the street the other day, and he's trying to go for a football scholarship as he's smoking a cigarette talking to me. It's like, man, dude, you can't do this to yourself. You're going to grow up full of regret because you're going to fail. And for me, I've, you know, put the racing aside and got real heavy into dealing drugs. And then one day just kind of broke down. I mean, there's a lot of drama that goes in with that, but we'll kind of, for time's sake, we'll kind of just go past that. And, you know, one day just realizing, like, man, you talk about going back to your old self. I tried so many times to get away from being that user, that dealer. And just like, man, I want a new life. I'm so over this. It's emptiness. There's something bigger out there. There's a missing void in my heart. When you're making, you know, endless money and you've bought everything under the sun and you've done everything you can do and you're still empty and you still have that hole you can't fill, I never knew what it was. And one day my now wife came to me, and with everything in her, she's like, hey, we need to try something new. Can we watch this TV show? And it was this pastor, Joel Osteen. I said, hey, we've tried everything else under the sun, you know, every drug, every toy, everything we could possibly figure out. Let's try that. And I watched it, and something inside of me sparked alive. I was like, man, it touched that void in my heart. And I was like, man, that's something. And then, you know, he says, get into a Bible-based church. And we started going to church, and, you know, I was still living my crazy life, spending money like I was going. You know, if you could define rock star, that was my life. And in that, a lot of chaos. So one day I found myself on my driveway in front of my big, huge, expensive house and just crying out to God, like, God, I cannot save myself. I cannot get away from this person I've created. Please step in and save my life. I don't know what to do. I can't do this without you. I don't really know who you are. I've always kind of known there was something there. And God stepped in, and I can tell you guys, man, he did things in my life that I should have been in prison. I watched five of my buddies go to prison for the same exact thing I was doing. This is how crazy God can move in one's life. He disrupted the paperwork for the DEA search warrant to my physical location in which I was doing all these things that I shouldn't have been. and no one showed up, but all of them, my buddies, they all got arrested. And God remembered that I stood on that driveway on my knees, and I yelled out and prayed, God, save me. And nothing happened. And I told him, too, that day that, God, you save me and protect me. Help me change my life. I will always give my life to you, and I won't go back to that old me. And I'm telling you, that's not the easiest thing to do. You know, every time you get close to failure, it's always like, man, I could go back to that old me. I could just, you know, sell some stuff and make some money. And it's not been the easiest road, but I went from being this, you know, living in million-dollar houses and wasting money like it's going out of style to living in a little camping trailer with my little tiny car. I had 7 cars, 3 houses, all that stuff. It meant nothing to me. I had the biggest hole in my heart the whole time. So now I live in this little tiny trailer in a back lot, and I'm in that. Me and my wife got married. We honored God with our marriage, and God moved huge through my life and my marriage. I'm now still married with her. Our marriage is doing amazing. We have a little daughter now. But the crazy part is God took that brokenness and in all that gave me enough to learn how to start a company. Now I've got a company that's going crazy. And even in this company, I've had my obstacles of trusting and believing in God. And even when you think everything is going to fail, God is right there just testing your heart for the next thing. With my company, I thought I was going to have to close the doors. Work was slow, no money, no way to feed my family. Panic was setting in. I'm like, I know how to make money. I know how to do this. I could just go back to the old me. And inside me, I knew there was nothing there. So I said, I have to honor God. And I had a couple people come to me that were very successful business people, and they said, John, just misrepresent the truth. I was like, misrepresent the truth? Are you telling me to lie? They said, no, don't lie. Misrepresent the truth. And I went home that night like, I don't understand what they're saying. And I said, God, I will not lie. I will not cheat. I will not steal. I'll honor you until the point of being broke. And I am going to go one step farther and trust in that God, you'll still provide, because you even reassure us in your word that the birds of the air don't worry about where they eat. Why should we? So I told God, you know what, God, I'll close this company before I rip off one person. And I put my resume into my old job, the one rare job I did have. And they hired me back the same day I got a call from this new client. And this new client gave me 13 rehabs my second day talking to him. And from that, I feel it was a test of God saying, where's your heart, John? Are you ready for this promotion? Can you honor me and stand strong? Or are you going to go back to the easy ways? And I stood in faith and said, God, I know that you've got something more. And God opened this door. And I can tell you guys, just up to recent, today, I got a phone call from a TV show that standing true and doing what's right, even with this new company I have and this contract with this client, we put the target on our back and we're held to a higher standard because we are believers and we are Christians. And I see other people doing the same exact thing I do, but they're getting away with all the little stuff. They're not rising above. They're not doing that extra 10%, and they're getting away with it. And so much of my heart wants to get frustrated and angry, like, why is it okay for them, God, and not for me? And he's saying, John, because I have something so much greater for you, but you need to honor me in these little things. And today I got accepted onto a TV show with a bigger client than the one I already have. And it's just God saying, hey, where are you at? And also in that, are you willing to let go of this step that I had to get you to promote you to this bigger one? Or, hey, John, are you willing to let go of where you are because I've got this so much bigger for you over here? And it's in those things that's where God will really test. And in that test, he got promotion. And it's so easy for us. Even in relationship, he does the same thing. Hey, I need you to learn what you're all about. Because half the time when we say, hey, what's my perfect mate? Well, I don't know. What do I like doing? Sometimes you got to test the waters of being in a relationship to figure out, hey, I like this kind of people. Hey, I like doing these activities. So when you go to look for something or a job or a career or a relationship or whatever it is that God has for you, he's preparing the other half too, the job or the relationship. But he's going to have you meet them or find them or figure out something that's relative to what you're doing so that life you spend, even at your job or relationship, is something of what you want to do. God wants to bless his kids. I truly, truly believe that with everything in me, that God's got so much for his kids. The problem is we get in our own way.
Absolutely. John, that was an awesome testimony. Nikki, what do you think about John's testimony?
I mean, it hit so many points, John. So a lot of the things that you talked about and touched upon, I definitely can relate. I can relate to, you know, what is called or what people have deemed me as being a person that has crazy faith. And that was something that was inbred in me since I was a youngster, because my mother was a woman who had crazy faith. We're the type of people who we believe when everybody else gives up. And just a year or so ago, you know, well, God allowed me to go through the wilderness for about 3 years, and it was a door that I opened, and I lost everything, and I have 4 children, and, well, at the time I had 3, and the 4th one came while I was in the wilderness. And even in my disobedience, though, God's hand was still there. Even when I walked away from him, God's hand was still there. And he allowed me to lose everything to build me back up, but it wasn't just for me. It was for others who watched what was going on to build their faith and to strengthen their faith. So I can agree 100%, and I can relate to a lot of things that you said in your testimony. Me and my children were, we lost our home for 30 days, but even still, we walked out of the house in an hour. And within an hour, we were in a condo that we stayed in for 30 days. 30 days later, the bank rescinded the sale. We are now, we've been back in our home for over a year. And I've had pastors and other prophets tell me that they thought my situation was too far gone and that I should have just walked away from it. But the only thing that I can say is, but God, but God. And so, God does want to bless his children, and it's just and the blessing isn't just monetary. The blessing isn't just material, and that's the thing about contemporary believers. We focus on what God can do for us, but I have learned, because of who I am, a lot of the blessing, my blessings have come from God using me, God seeing me fit and worthy enough to bring the word to his people. What can I do for you, Father? Of course, I'm human. Of course, there are comforts that I want and things that I want too. But I'm starting to move away from me, and it's about God. What can I do for you? Because his word says to focus on God and on the things that he wants us to do, and then everything else will be and standing, trusting people. I still believe it. Said, God, I will serve you in a cardboard box, and I won't look back. And that's how, if God had never given me my home back, it wouldn't have shaken my faith. It just meant that God had something different in mind for me. So I can totally agree.
Wow, that was definitely heartfelt, Nikki, and thanks for that too. And Dr. Lorraine, the common thread I'm noticing here is that when we go through things in life and this change, we as human beings, we really do not like change. It becomes uncomfortable to us because we have to go from the comfortable to the unknown, and that unknown can really breed fear in our hearts and our minds. And that causes us to really hold on for dear life and not let go. When instead of trusting God, because God has something better for us than what we thought we had. And it reminds me of Lot's wife. It also reminds me of Abraham when God tested his heart, when he had to sacrifice or was attempted to sacrifice his only son that God promised him. you know. So, Dr. Lorraine, what are your thoughts about that? After hearing Nikki's testimony and hearing John's testimony, what do you think about that? Dr. Lorraine?
I'm sorry, I had you on mute. I was trying to listen, so I wasn't,
okay.
Wasn't ready. I know that God uses pain and brokenness as a catalyst for us to recognize our need for Him. And I remember in my own life, there's been a lot of different situations I've gone through, and I came from an alcoholic, abusive dad, and my brother was a drug addict dealer, and my other brother is an alcoholic, and I've had that whole lifestyle personally myself. And I know that God has used those times of hurt and brokenness to draw me close to Him. And I remember Him speaking clearly to me, because I was the queen codependent that would go rescue and, you know, well, they need money to get their vehicle out of impound, or they won't have a car to get to work. And I took responsibility for everybody and wanted to take care of everybody. And one day God said to me, why do they need me if they have you to be their savior? And I realized that I was getting in the way of what God wanted to do. And it wasn't until I stepped out of the way and quit helping and what I looked at as helping and allowed them to feel their pain and their brokenness and experience that was when they finally got to their point where they recognized their need for God, as I had done, you know, in my own brokenness when I was about 21. So as difficult as it is and as painful as it is, God uses those times. So in a sense, I look at it almost like as a severe mercy or a blessing, as I'm sure John does and even Nikki, that, you know, in his brokenness, what he has lost that old life, but he has gained a life. And Paul said the same thing. It's, you know, we gain real life, because none of that materialistic thing or the money or anything means anything. It's that peace we have in our heart. It's that relationship with Christ that we have that makes all the difference. It's recognizing who we are in Him and how rich we are and how blessed we are in Him that makes a difference, and that comes from a place of brokenness first.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful point. You know, I want to share some scriptures real quick, and scriptures that I believe are definitely pertinent to wanting to let go. And the first scripture I came across was Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope and an expected end. Philippians 3:12-14, not that I have already obtained this or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me, and pushing, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 43:18-19. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Those are some of the scriptures that I thought were really spoke to me. You know, I like what Paul said in Philippians, that, you know, he doesn't consider himself to be to have arrived, but one thing he does do, because don't forget, Paul was somebody who was a man when he was his former alias, Saul. He was nothing nice. But, you know, so he had no choice but to forget what he had did in order to embrace what God had for him. Nikki, did any of those scriptures, speak out to you?
Yeah, Jeremiah 29:11. actually, that is a scripture that when I was going through what I was going through, even with breaking, asking God to free me of the soul tie of the relationship, out of my disobedience that I had walked into, he kept reminding me of that scripture. When I was going through the situation with where I had lost everything, he reminded me of that scripture. And a friend of mine, which is a coworker, that we just recently met, but it's like we've been knowing each other for so long, and you know, God strategically placed me in this class next to this young lady, and he had me begin to pour out into her, as far as faith and things of that nature. And today, you know, we hadn't talked in a while, and she texted me, and, you know, God had me begin to pour into her. And one of the scriptures that she texted me back, you know, she told me thank you for, you know, she was grateful that God had placed me in her life, but one of the scriptures she texted me back was Jeremiah 29:11, and it's, I'm not a person who believes in coincidences at all, but it's like even now with myself, because God is stretching me and he's taking me to another level, there are things that I have to shed, and because of who I am in Christ, because who he called me to be, because of the office that he bestowed on me, my walk is lonely a lot of times. And so the last week or two, my emotion and my flesh had been trying to get me in kind of like a depressed mood. And, you know, Satan had been trying to attack me in that area. And once again, you know, she didn't realize that she had blessed me with that scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, because all it was, and then you said it today, and like I've told people before, when you hear the same thing of God 3 or 4 times, it's the Holy Spirit and the Lord himself letting you know, this is me talking to you, you know. And so it's just like what she didn't realize is that she had touched me, and it was God saying, I'm here. Remember this. Hold on to this. So that's Jeremiah 29:11 is what, you know, stuck out for me.
Wow, that's awesome, Nikki. John, how about you, sir? Did you any of those scriptures that I read speak out to you at all?
Yeah, I agree with Nikki and what she's saying, and it's just, it's so amazing to see the confirmation that God gives us. And what's really blowing me away lately is just seeing the fact that in our brokenness, God gives us the ability to reach out to those that have been broken in the same way. It's kind of like a business guy can't really relate to a homeless guy, but a homeless guy can relate to a homeless guy. And it when he opens these doors and he makes these mountains move, it's cool because the healing and the growth that happens, most of the time it's in the person sharing with the person that is broken. I mean, it talks about the two-edged sword, and it's just, I'm so in love with God and the fact that he's so beyond our ability to think on a daily basis, that his planning and his plotting and everything he's doing and how he loves so much. We can't even fathom the depth of his love. And it kind of like, this is why this topic hits so heavy with me, in that letting go. And in that inability to let go, man, God cannot move through our lives. And it's crazy that in all this that we get stuck being right here, like, okay, God, this is safe here. And God's going, no, I know I've brought you here, but I've got you to go here. And people get like, man, I've got this job, I've got money, I got stuff coming in. And God goes, I might need you to be broke so that you can go relate to these people. And it's just, man, God is so powerful. And I just, man, everyone who's out there and is just struggling or having rough times or just uncertainties in what's going on, just know God is bigger than everything. And even in the times that are good, God might shake those up because you are too comfortable. You are getting too focused on, hey, look at all this stuff that's going good for me, because you might become inadequate in his plan that he has for you. to go reach people, because now you're comfortable and you're living your life and you're doing your thing and you're not really reaching out and not really sharing where God has brought you in the midst of your life, or reaching out to that person that you see that's in your shoes. It's just the plan when we let go and we really dive in and we really give our lives to God and the places He takes us, it gets from up and down. But to know that in those times of down, like I've heard, I think Nikki say already, that in those times of down, when we stay focused on Him, the mountains He moves and the things He does and the growth He gives us and the purities He creates in our lives are just, it's just amazing. You cannot go through life and think that something greater hasn't created us when so many things come into play and so much bigger stuff's going on. And you know that even in your worst times, when you come out of those, there's no way you could have done that on your own. And man, I'm so thankful that that God found me and brought me out of that life, and that we have these brothers and sisters. And the stuff that's being said tonight, man, it's just powerful stuff. And I'm just so thankful for God. And not one thing that you kind of said really stuck out more than all of His overall plan and kind of everything He re-edifies to us. And man, I just have to say, God can heal where we are. He can fix where we are. He can bring us out of where we are. And just everyone believe, if that's you in this rough spot right now, man, just know that even in your worst times, and it might not be tomorrow, it might not be next week. I know that we struggled for, it's been a few years since I gave my life, that God finally got us to where now we're so focused on Him and we're doing His thing. Like, you lose focus and it's like, oh man, you get distracted, you lose sight of what He's doing, but yet He's still creating in you that bigger plan, that you've got to go through those little phases and those little steps. You have to go through those rough times. You have to see those days to where you can see those better days that lie right ahead of maybe where you are today.
Wow. Amen, bro. Amen. John, you on point tonight. Nikki's on point tonight. Dr. Luann's on point tonight. Man, I'm hyped. Today's a good show. Woo! Okay, guys, you heard it, man. If you're calling for the first time or tuning in for the first time, rather, the number to call is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Guys, call us up. Let us know what your testimony is. Let us know if you have a question or a comment. We want to hear from you guys tonight, man. I mean, you heard it. You heard Nikki. You heard John. You heard Dr. Luann. Call us up. We want to hear from you guys. We're talking about learning to let go and move on. If you've had a situation going on in your life, maybe it may be a relationship, it may be your childhood, your upbringing, anything that's held you back, anything that's been a source of contention in your life, God is saying tonight, let it go. Let that thing go, because I'm doing something new in your life. So, guys, just call us in. We want to talk to you. Here's the thing that really was a big thing for me, that I'm going to be completely transparent, and my point, one of my other points I want to make tonight, I think it's my sixth point, is letting go of the need to control or manipulate. Acknowledge that the need to control is really about you. It isn't about the people you're trying to control. It's about a need that you are trying to fill or a fear that you may have. When a person is trying to control all the external chaos in their world, they're really trying to control the internal chaos. It is possible to be so controlling that it actually cripples your health. Being controlling is exhausting. The older you get, you're going to find that you have less and less energy to keep all the balls you're juggling in the air. And some of them are going to hit the ground. At some point, you have to learn to let go and trust God. You have to say, enough is enough. I will let go. The world is not going to fall apart if you let go. Ask yourself, what do you have to lose if you stop trying to control other people? You know as well as I do that, guys, that it is not possible to control people and the world around you. You can't really lose any control because you don't really have control over people. Understand that what you have is fear, the fear that you create in your own mind. Sometimes controlling people are so afraid of losing the people around them that they end up driving the same people they're afraid of losing away because of their controlling behavior. Guys, you have to give yourself permission to let go and make the choice to change. And that speaks volumes for me because, you know, growing up as a kid and, you know, with all the abandonment issues that I had and whatnot, in my early childhood and in my early teens and early 20s, I was very controlling. I was afraid to – I would try to make things – force things to happen in my own power, in my own strength, because I was afraid of the unknown. And that translated to my personal relationships as well as things that I would do in my job or in my business. And God, it took me a long time. Now I'm 40 years old now, and the past 4 to 5 years, God has really worked with me on that area to really relinquish that need of control, because it wasn't really who I was. I was operating out of fear. And Dr. Lorraine, why do you think this is so important? As far as I think this is a really important point. There's people out there listening right now that are probably controlling. They could be controlling in a relationship. They could be controlling just in life in general. And it really stops them from becoming the people that God truly wants them to be, because they're not trusting. They're so uptight. They feel they need to control everything: their money, their affairs, their home, their children, everything. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I think I appreciate your transparency and sharing even your story, but it's so common. It's a huge trait of codependency, and that place where you feel like you need to control everything and everybody around you, because when you were younger, this goes back to being young again, things were so out of control, and when things got out of control, bad things happened. So when you grow up, there's that sense that if I don't keep control, then something bad will happen. And it's a false sense of control because, as you said, there really is no control. We don't control other people. And a lot of times with codependency, we don't see it as being controlling or manipulative. But if you are in a relationship with somebody, maybe they have a drinking problem, and you sense they're getting tense tonight and they're probably going to drink, and so you're going to manipulate the situation and say, you know, hey, why don't we go to a movie tonight? And you're just trying to distract them from what they're going to do. That's still a form of control. You're not letting them do what they need to do to get to the place where they recognize their need for God. And you're not trusting God for them, your relationship, or yourself. So, it goes back, I believe, to the way we grow up and the lack of control we have. We carry that into our adult lives. And then when we become believers, it's hard to relinquish that control because we're still filtering everything through that old fear that if something is out of control, that something bad will happen. And we don't trust God fully that he's not going to allow something bad to happen or that he's not big enough to take care of it. So it's fear-based, and I appreciate your honesty in sharing that, but I think it's a very key point for people in where they're at and where they're at with their relationship and God.
Absolutely. You know, I was faced with a situation, years ago, and I was in a relationship with a young lady, and for many different reasons, the relationship didn't work out, but I had the opportunity to get back with her and try to do the same things to, you know, like a magician, pull a rabbit out of a hat to catch her attention, try to get back in a relationship with her, but God told me, no, this time don't do that. You know, and I could have gone back to my old ways, or I could have, but I, instead of doing that, I learned to let go. And if the Bible says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And I learned that in that scripture alone, God told me that, Raz, you don't want anything that I haven't given you. Whatever I have for you, you don't have to force anyone to try it. You don't have to force anyone. And I'm talking to people out there listening right now. You can't force another human being to love you. You can't force another human being to see you the way you want them to see you. It's just not going to happen. Nikki, talk to me.
That's absolutely true. And I'm going to always come from a believer standpoint. And that's one of the ways that Satan works against us, even people who are in the world, but especially us believers, because the church is a hospital, basically, and it's full of, the body of Christ is full of people who have been broken, people who have been rejected, you know, people who have low self-esteem. Because if these people didn't have these issues, then what would we need Christ for? If we were perfect, if we were whole, if we didn't have problems, what would we need Christ for? So therefore, Satan uses those vices to lure us out, and even myself. God has always used my life, and it didn't. I didn't realize it until probably about a year or two ago. Is that God allows me to go through things for a testimony of other people, to be a testimony to other people. Like John was saying, a homeless man and a businessman, unless that homeless man was a businessman at one time, they really don't have a conversation. They're worlds apart. And so, therefore, how can they really relate to one another besides them both being men and besides them both being human? They speak almost completely two different languages. And so, therefore, I can understand your story better, or I can relate better, or I can be ministered to more closely if you've walked through the shoes that I've been in. I was a teenage mother. So therefore, I can minister to young girls who are teen mothers. One of the things is that's my business, actually, is ministering to teen moms. Now, when I was a teen mother, when I was a teenager and I had my daughter, if you weren't a mother, or if you were a mother but you were married and, you know, had your child when you and all that, what you had to say to me rolled off my back like, you know, a duck, you know, how water rolls off a duck's back. But if I've walked through those experiences, and by me being a teen mom, and it's like, hey, you know, I've gone to college, I've graduated, I've bought a house, I've been married, you know, these are the things that you can do, then I'm more relatable. So with my life, And with the last relationship that I was in, I had never experienced the things ever in a relationship that I had with this man. And I asked God, I said, okay, God, what is going on? Because my personality is I'll walk away from something without a hesitation. It may hurt, it may bother me, but you will never know. I'll take it to God. And so God told me, first of all, I shouldn't even been in that thing, and I walked in it in disobedience intentionally because I was angry with God because my mother had passed away. And so it's like, so I said, hey, you know, if this is what it's all about, then, you know, I'm going to throw caution to the wind, which I never do. And I did, and I got caught up in something. But God told me in that mess, he said, I'm going to bring you out, and this is going to be a testimony. For many, my life is very transparent. When you see me, what you see is what you get. I don't hide anything. I don't cover up anything. A lot of things I probably share, most people wouldn't. But God showed me, and he told me, that the pain and the things that I've gone through, those low places, that's ministry for other people. Because if I've never been low, how can I talk to you? It's going to look like I'm ministering to you from a pious position. So, yeah, a lot of times in this last relationship, I had issues with rejection, but it was from my family. It was issues that I had with my family. Well, in this whole relationship thing, those buttons were pushed because I didn't feel honored. Now, you talk about control. I am the youngest of seven. I'm way down the line. And as a young kid, once again, we go back to childhood, I felt as if I did not have control over what was done to me, whether my older siblings, you know, made fun of me, whether they were, you know, teenagers, they pick and you know, it's abusive behavior, but they're kids. They're not trying to be abusive. But it made me feel like I didn't have anyone to protect me. So I grew up as being a controlling person, as far as I would never drink, I would never get high, I never threw a party to the wind. I had to keep things controlled. I disconnected from my emotions because it's like you'll never put a situation where I can't control me or the environment around me. And so those stem from fear and rejection issues. So it's like when you get in a relationship with someone and it's like they are rejecting you, rejection makes you want that thing that much more. Because it's like, I want to prove to you that I can be loved, that I am lovable, that I've loved you, that I'm loyal to you. But it's not until we allow God to move and get out of the way until we can be free from that thing. Because that thing right there, rejection and trying to prove to somebody that I am good enough and they're steadily telling you that you're not through their actions, I mean, man, that becomes your God, because you're spending more of your time trying to prove to this person that I am this, I am worthy, I am lovable, I'm the one, pick me, and when they don't pick you, you're crushed. So, yeah, but like I said, us as believers, we have to be cognizant of those things, because that's a vice. We are truly in the end times. So Satan is throwing everything possible to get our minds off of and our attention off what we're supposed to be doing, which is pulling other people from the gates of hell. But if I'm concentrating on how this man didn't love me right, or this woman didn't accept me, or she picked the next man, or my job didn't give me a promotion, or, my account is negative, what does any of that have to do with saving souls? So we just have to be cognizant. But, yeah, I definitely can relate to the rejection. And I felt like that with my own family. What's wrong with me? Why am I not good enough? Why am I always the villain? What is the problem? And you know what God told me? He told me that I was the Joseph in my family. But that didn't make me feel any better, because Joseph was cast out. And yet, he helped his family in the end. But just imagine how lonely his life was all those years and trying to figure out, what did I do? I didn't ask to be born this way. I didn't ask to have God's gift on me. What did I do? And so, therefore, just imagine the rejection that Joseph dealt with. That's my comment.
Wow. That's you heard it, folks. Nikki always brings the pain. Or brings the reality, should I say. But, I can relate to what you're saying, Nikki. I remember when I was, in a relationship and, the young lady, it was a mutual thing at the beginning, but then she had told me that she, Raz, you're nice, but you're not quite what I prayed for. I wanted someone taller. I wanted a 6'2" or, an NBA player or, an athlete of some kind. You're nice, but you're not quite what I want. And I was doing, I didn't want to let go. The challenge became my drug. I wanted to prove to her that I'm good enough for you. Please love me. Look at me.
Right?
I'm that guy. I can do it. Yes, I can. I can be that guy. And in doing that, I lost who I was. I lost my spiritual self-esteem. I lost my sense of self-worth, not because I purposely wanted to, but because I had blinders on, and it led me into a slippery slope. And it had set the tone for that relationship to crash and burn eventually. So, guys, if you're listening out there, you cannot – if somebody says you're not what they're looking for, don't take it personal. It's okay. You can't be all things to all people. And that person may not have the maturity. They may be perceiving you through a worldly lens, not through the lens of God. And you only want the people that God has for you. John, what do you think about that, man? And what do you think about that? My analogy I just gave, and also the need to control and manipulate.
Okay, the control is obviously just an illusion. the ability to control anything besides water squirting out of a hose when you pull a handle or something of that nature, that's the only control we really have. Anything outside of that is an illusion. I heard something that's pretty profound. A leader, you would think a great leader needs to be someone that's in extreme control, oversees everything, overbearing on everything, has everything under control. You know that the greatest leader is a leader that leads in a way that no one can tell he's the leader? If you're to put that into perspective, would that mean he's the guy in the greatest control? No, he's the guy that's given control to the people who are designed to be in control of those arenas in which that environment needs to be controlled. So there is control, because when you're in an arena of work, everyone's got to control their little area of getting their projects done. But ultimate control is best when we give it to God, because he is in control. So I thought that was pretty amazing, that I thought, as being a leader of my company, that the best way is for me to be in control of everything. And the best way to lead is to let go of control. So I hope that helps a little bit. And then talking about on the relationship side with letting go is, do you guys think by any chance that Michael Jordan won his first championship ring the first time he stepped on court, the first time he played his first championship? I've heard statistics that he's lost thousands of times more than he's won. And you can't be afraid of the fact that, hey, I've got into this relationship, it just didn't work. But in this relationship, now I see and know what it is that I'm looking for in someone, and I thank you for this opportunity to have grown myself in this experience. I've had people tell me, hey, this girl's, you know, wants to date, or this guy wants to date, but I'm just not sure. I just don't think they're the one. Well, what's wrong with enjoying the experience? Not go live outside what you should be living in an honoring life or relationship with someone, you know, having sex before marriage and doing not, I'm not saying go sin and do those things, but why not get to know different people, different characteristics? Hey, what things do I really enjoy? It's not in the sense of test driving a car, because we got to put our boundaries as being Christians and believers where we don't fully get in the car and drive it in relationships. It's kind of a different aspect, but in reality, it's the same thing. Like when you go buy a car, you kind of check it out. You look at the, are those the wheels I want? You know what? I don't even know what wheels I like. But then you look at them and you get to know them. Okay, those aren't the ones I like. There's nothing wrong with getting involved in relationships, of the aspect of learning what relationships are about. The other thing is, most people don't even know what relationships are. The crazy thing is when you really don't know people, relationships take time to figure out who people are. It's real easy to put on this facade, like how you tried to be that athletic sportly type and be like, hey, I can be that. I can put on taller shoes. I can shoot hoops. But that's not you. And in knowing, like, hey, that's what she likes, that's okay for her to like those things. And that's okay for you to not be that person. Because in the midst of all that, you're going to realize what your flair is, what your style is, what your loves are, what your needs are, what characteristics you like in people. And not to mention that, God's got to do work in all of us to get us to a place where we can be in a relationship that's healthy on both ends, because a relationship is two people. If you're going into a relationship and you're putting on a facade that, hey, I really like that girl down the street, I know she likes basketball players, I'm going to get into basketball. And then the second you guys get married, you get into having kids, and you go, man, I hate basketball. It's like, whoa, whoa, where'd that other person go? So there's nothing wrong with figuring out who we are. And I love that we're talking a lot about our upbringing and who we are as kids. The biggest work God's been doing lately in my life is letting me realize the scars and the damage and the things that were done in me, and bringing to me a healing in those, that I can get outside of that rut and that lifestyle that I've been wired because of my upbringing. And man, the things that's happening in me and what's going on around in my life, it's just, it's awesome. So if you've had a rough life, or if you've had a lot of stuff go on, or you've got a lot of scars from your background. Don't hide from those things. Don't pretend they don't exist. Let God heal those things. And watch the stuff that he can do through your life and in your life, because they are scars and they do need healing, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm thankful that we've gotten to a place in my home where we're taking on those things. And don't think they're not going to hurt again. And don't think it's not going to be painful. But through that pain we've already talked about, God does great, amazing things, and he heals us and promotes us and puts us up to a place where in our hearts we've got change. And he does, like, on love. He teaches us more love, greater love, deeper love. It's been an eye-opening thing for me, because as we've all had little issues in our background of broken homes and the effects of sin. And it's for us, this generation, to break those bondages in our chains of family, that our next generations could live in the generational blessing that our God speaks of. And reassures us of. It changes with us, and we don't have to be perfect people to make those changes. We just need to be transparent in what God's doing in our lives and to just accept those things. And even in relationships with people that fail, those are just things that help us get to those places. And those are okay to let go of, because there's more places to go. That's like saying, hey, I'm going to go to vacation to New Mexico, and I'm never going to go anywhere else because it's the greatest place on earth. God's saying, hey, wait, I got Hawaii, I got Fiji, I got Jamaica. Well, why are you stuck over there? Let's go to these other places. And you're like, no, man, it's comfortable right here. I like it here. He's like, man, but wow. I've got so much more for you. You got to let go of control and give it to God, because he's ultimately in control.
Man, John, you on fire tonight, bro. I like what you're saying,
right?
Man. I like what Nikki's saying. Woo! Guys, you heard it. 347-945-7310. Can we talk? Dr. Lorraine, what do you think about what John and Nikki just said?
I don't even need to add anything to it, because...
I know, right?
You know, well, what can I say? I mean, everything John said was so accurate and right on, and God has a healing for us, and he wants us to be healed and whole. He wants us to experience relationships so we can see who we are and who they are. And when you're looking at a relationship and you feel like somebody's rejected you, they're okay to say, no, this is the kind of person I'm looking for, and God has somebody for them. And it's okay for you to say, this is the kind of person I'm looking for, because God has somebody for you. And if you're holding on to the wrong person, you're spending time in an area with somebody that is keeping you from the one God has for you. So I think to just look to the Lord and be trusting him, be open to the healing, allow him to bring relationships into your life so that you can look at those areas that need healing, and don't be fearful to go through it, because holding on to the old stuff is holding you back and is hurting you, and God only has what is good and, you know, what is holy and healthy for you. I love the scripture that you said earlier about, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And then when you talked about Jeremiah, where he says he has a future and a hope for us, and he wants to take us out of those old things and bring us into that future and that hope. And we're our own worst enemies. And I think the enemy uses all those things from the past to keep us stuck. So I really appreciate both Nikki and John's, you know, vulnerability and honesty and just transparency, so that people can see where they've been and where God has brought them. And I have no doubt God has his hand on their lives, and he has a bright future for both of them, as well as you, Raz. And I know what he's done in my life, and he's very faithful.
Absolutely, man. It's awesome, Dr. Wayne. I definitely appreciate you saying that, man. I'm enjoying myself, guys. I don't know about you, but I'm liking this show tonight. I think it's very powerful, very relevant, and I think a lot of truth is being said right now. And we were just talking about the area of letting go of the need to control and manipulate. And here's some of the points I identified that can, you know, truly help people to truly let go of control and, you know, and manipulating ways. And that's point number one I want to make of that topic is, God wants you to trust his timing. Waiting is not always a bad thing. Some things done prematurely can hurt you. For example, if you want to jump off into a diving board, into a pool without water, that hasn't been filled with water yet, it's going to be very painful. So your desire to jump must be delayed if you're to survive the jump. When God lays an answer to your cry, he knows what he's doing. He can be trusted. And look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. My point number two is this. God wants you to welcome his molding and shaping of your life. There's a difference between waiting and waiting patiently. The difference is that patience indicates an understanding of God's purpose in making us wait. We're like wooden blocks in the hands of God. He is carving a knife in sandpaper and is shaping us and molding us. He is committed to us becoming what he intended. We are a project under his construction, and it will take time to finish. You wouldn't hand a Van Gogh masterpiece to a toddler with crayons. God is waiting for you, and we get the point. I mean, I get the point. You know, God says, well, let me say it like this. Patience says to God, when you're patient, it says to God, God, I understand that I'm not ready for your answer, and I choose to cooperate with your timing until you think I am ready. Woo! I like that. Yeah, Nikki, what do you think about my comment?
That's the essence of faith right there. That's one of the things, like, you know, being someone who has or who had an issue with control, a lot of times when things don't happen the way we want them to happen or the way we think that they should happen, and we're doing everything in our might, which is the key term right there, we become frustrated. And frustration opens the door to impatience, which therefore opens the door to doubt, because it's like, if things aren't moving the way, you know, God, I'm trusting you, I prayed, and it's not happening yet, you know, therefore the doubt comes in, which doubt is an enemy of your faith. But once again, when you go back to Jeremiah 29:11, and when you really trust and you believe God and you have faith, then it's like, you know, no matter what we're going through, God, I can't wait for this. This thing is rough right here. You know, I may have caused some things to happen this way, you know, because, you know, of sin or disobedience or whatever, and now there's consequences. But when I know that God is not going to leave me hanging regardless of what the outcome is, he has me, even if it's, you know, me going home to heaven, I know he has me. It makes it that much easier when you really trust and when you really have faith to wait on God to do his perfect will. And with my life, because I have been through things that God allowed me to go through to be a testimony to other people, because I want things a certain way now, because I desire life to be a certain way, I have relinquished majority of my control to the Lord. There's things that he's still working on me with, because I am a mother with three teenagers and a toddler, you know. But even with that, you know, I'm having to learn to give that over to the Lord, because I feel like no one's going to love my children like I will. No one's going to protect them like I will. But God is like, those are my children. Regardless of, you know, and then I go above and beyond trying to make sure that I'm the mother that, even though my mom, she was a great mom, but I'm the youngest of seven. So therefore, a lot of my siblings, you know, well, one sibling in particular, my sister Vicky, who we're 11 years apart and we're very close, I was left in her care, you know, a lot. And it was a lot of things that I witnessed and that I saw that I felt like, you know, my mother allowed things to happen, you know, as far as her blind loyalty to her own siblings. She allowed people to walk on her children, you know, and we were raised in such a way to respect authority. We didn't talk back, you know. We we came up in that, you know, kids are seen and not heard. You don't dare get into an adult conversation. But I feel like that because my mother had such blind loyalty to her siblings that she allowed them to hurt her own children with disrespect and putting them down and things of that nature. And I vowed that will never happen. I mean, even to the point of where she would, you know, loan out her income to them where they wanted to get dresses to the Grammys or whatever the case may be, and we're in low income, but when it was time for our life bill to be paid, they didn't give the money back. So there was plenty of nights we may have come home and the lights were off and we had to go to bed early, you know, because it's dark in the house. And so I vowed that when I did, first of all, I didn't want to be a mother. That's first and foremost. But when I did become a mother, I vowed that my kids will never experience those things because of my own childhood. But because I've learned to give God control and start giving, because, I mean, what is it that I can do anyway? If God brought me home today, my kids still would have to be here on this earth. And I would just have to trust God even then that they would be okay. So once again, like John said, control is an illusion. Because really we can't even control ourselves, because if God decided for our hearts to stop beating at this moment, we have no control over that. And so it's like that's even where my faith has even stretched even more, where God is shedding off, you know, layers, and he's stretching me to wait for his perfect will, and don't rush things, because everything, you want to wait for God's will, because, I mean, we've made so many mistakes. It's like, when do you get tired of asking God to clean up the mistakes? So I'm in my waiting season right now on a few things, but, you know, especially as far as being remarried and everything, I'm waiting.
Absolutely, Nikki, that's an excellent point, and yeah, no, I definitely relate to what you're saying. Another area of a controlling, manipulative, people who are having problems letting go in the area of being controlling and manipulative is impatience. And I remember when I was a few years back, I was really hungry, and I I was trying to cook some food. I was so hungry that I was seeing red, and instead of letting the rice cook, I ate half cooked rice because I was that hungry. I was impatient. Did it taste good? Nah. It tasted like garbage. But impatient people, you know, are often very controlling because they're incapable, like me with the analogy of the rice, of cooking the rice. They're incapable of waiting for a more considered or desired outcome or for the time needed to create a quality end result. And if you combine this with perfectionism, those of you who are perfectionists out there, and the real controlling personality comes out. Unrealistic expectations of perfect work right now. Guys, we have to learn how to be patient. We have to learn how to be laid back and trust God. John, what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, patience is something that I can share a little story with you. Being from a 20-year-old kid who could put together 30, 40, 50 grand a month, to getting into my 23 and 24 and, you know, making 75, 80 grand a month, it got real hard to be patient, because when you got money and you're a young kid, it's like, no, I want it now. You just don't get it. Like, it don't matter what it costs. Like, patience was something that I could not get a hold of. I was the most impatient person you've ever met. And when I first gave my life to Christ, I knew it was a problem. And people were telling me, like, hey, you know, pray for patience. God will teach you patience. And I went, man, you know what? I need that. I need patience. God, I pray you teach me patience. Lord, show me patience. I'm failing myself because of patience, the inability to wait on you. I know that you've got a great work in me, but it's not going to happen tomorrow. In that, teach me to be patient upon you and to rest and wait upon you. And that like, same maybe day or next day, I went to my small group, and they said, man, you know, if you got problems with patience, pray to God about it. And I was like, oh, yeah, that was me. And they said, but in that, just know that God is going to put your life upside down. And I was like, whoa, wait, why didn't you guys tell me that yesterday? And I can tell you guys that God put my life through a roller coaster of events to just see, John, can you be patient on me? And what's cool about that now is it is a form of disease, and it is a form of control, and it is very, very dangerous. And it gives us that mindset that it's okay to step outside of God's will, because God should have done this. I know that God wants me to do this. It's time. I've waited. And you go do something, like Nikki said, that she got herself into something that she shouldn't have. And we find ourselves doing these things like, well, it's been time. Well, not God's time. And in that time that God calls us to wait, he's doing a great work in us. Like I know with some of the things that I've seen go on in my life, that God was preparing me for the promotion he had. But he had to rest in the fact that I needed to be patient so that he could create in me an ability to take on that newness, that I would not fail myself in my impatience. And that's pretty heavy.
Wow.
And now, in my life, I find it easy to be patient. It's not easy to say I'm perfect, because I'm very fleshly still in my life. I'm human, as we all are. But in the back of my head, I'm always remembering, be patient. God is there. And even in the little things, like I was having an issue selling a truck. I needed to sell a work truck so that I could get a different one. I kept thinking, God, man, help me sell this truck. I need this truck gone. But in my heart, I kept saying, I know this. Be patient. Be patient. And this guy I met 2 months earlier said, John, I will buy your truck. Give me time. Well, I wasn't being patient. But in my back of my mind, I knew, like, hey, be patient. Rest on God. He'll sell this truck for me. 2 months later, that guy shows up. Here's that money I said I'd get. Can I take my truck home? It's like, sweet, I didn't waste energy. I didn't waste a bunch of resources. I just, you know, you still got to do your due diligence. But knowing that in that patience, God was going to create a way. And what's really cool is in the heat of my learning patience, check this out. This is a good one. I was real impatient racing BMX. And I put myself in a position where I knew I could beat the competition I had that weekend. But I'd get impatient and crash myself out trying to get to the lead when I knew I could be patient and win just on talent. So I'm a Christian believer now, and I go back to race a couple years and share my faith with my fellow BMXers. I'm at the World Championships in Canada, and I come out of the gate, I'm in first. I hit the first obstacle, I make a slight error, and now I'm in third. So much of me wanted to freak out and crash everyone in the turn and get back to first, and God had already worked on me on patience, and I said, you know what, I can outride these guys if I'm patient and I wait. And in the last turn, I made the move for first and won the World Championship gold medal. Patience, I'm telling you, it's something that's not easy, but it's something that in time God can work and God can create in us. But it's in that patience that God also brings wisdom. And wisdom is a beautiful thing when it's used in an unselfish and in a way that we've got no use of reward out of that. God can do huge things.
Absolutely. Excellent point, John. You know, another area that I wanted to talk about that contributes to a controlling and manipulative type of personality in the area of not being able to let go is, and I think this is very, very dangerous, is the need to be right. To me, this is a central aspect of a controlling personality. It derives from a need for certainty in your life in a very uncertain world. This aspect of a controlling personality will always drive you to override other ideas, other people's options and suggestions in favor of your own, because you've already convinced yourself that you know best. This railroad really upsets other people, and not only that, it would really hinder you from incorporating, you know, the points of views of other people that could potentially save your life. When you constantly override people and things and to undermine your ability to undermine your ability to be part of a team, you're no longer a leader. You become a tyrant of sorts, a dictator who ignores suggestions of teammates and simply wears them down to get your way. And I think that, you know, the need to be right. You know, when you start talking to some certain people, I mean, I'm in a conversation with another guy, and I'm like, man, are we having a conversation? Do I have to stop remembering my kung fu blocks? Or you could be in a business situation, you know. And John, me and you work in the same industry, where we come across this all the time in business. You know, the need to always be right, and that can be frustrating dealing with that. And also in a relationship, if you're being with somebody who's controlling and they're always right in the way they see things as the problems, that can lead to frustration. So, Dr. Lorraine, what do you feel about how dangerous the need to be right, letting go of the need to be right all the time?
Well, you know, this is just another one of those areas that goes back to childhood experiences. I think that feed into that insecurity, that proving that they are right, because if they're not right, then there's something wrong with them and they're bad. And it's just an undercurrent of all of that stuff that comes from their childhood. And it is that attempt to control the circumstances and the situation and the conversation and to be seen in a positive light. And I think it's really more about that, being seen in a positive light. That's just a deep issue, I think, that whole thing. And I think when I was listening to John talk about being patient and that whole other subject, I know that's kind of backpedaling a little bit, but I was thinking about it, and the Lord just reminded me of how Abraham and Sarah were told that they were going to be blessed with a child, and they didn't trust that God could really do what he said he would do. And so they took the matter into their own hands and manipulated it. And, you know, as you know, Abraham was with the maidservant and ended up having Ishmael and didn't wait for the blessing and caused a lot of issues because of that and missed out. And I think we can do that. I think when we are impatient, we can try to manipulate things and we can be impatient and wanting a relationship and jump into something too fast. And at least we're in a relationship. It's not God's best for us. It's not the blessing God had for us, but that's what we're manipulating and choosing. And I know that's a little bit off track from the, you know, being right all the time, but it's just something that God brought to my mind that I think sometimes when we manipulate things and we're impatient, and I know for a fact we're missing out on what God's best is for us. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, that's a good point. Nikki, do you have anything to add to that?
As far as being right, I mean, it just goes back to a person, you know, that controlling personality, because if you're not right, when you're a person that's in control or, you know, is controlling, when you're not right, then you're not in control. That means that if someone else's point of view was right or someone else's idea was right or, you know, especially, you know, if your controlling aspect came out of rejection, if somebody else's aspect or idea is better, or, you know, therefore you've lost control and you feel rejected. So that's another thing. Controlling people really sometimes have an issue with compromise, and where because they are always in control of things, because they do structure their lives a certain way that works for them, it doesn't mean that it's going to work for everybody. And like I said, once again, unless you are in the Father's faith, a lot of times you're not going to be able to even identify that, because it is so much easier, okay, for me to recognize, Raz, that you are a controller and the things that you do aren't right, but I can't stand in front of the mirror and say the same thing to me, because I feel like I have a reason to be this way, so I get a pass on, you know, my controlling issues aren't as bad. And, you know, none of that really, that all that comes with growth and spiritual maturity and being realistic with yourself and really letting God purge some things out of you. But most human beings, we are not like that. We are not going to be as critical on ourselves and our faults as we are somebody else's, because we can see theirs. They just may not be able to see ours. And, you know, I can say that God has made me one of those type of people where I can be honestly critical on myself. And now where God has matured me, I didn't care about your opinion of me, though. You know, it didn't matter to me. But now God is getting me to the point to where, not that I'm going to necessarily change myself, but let me take into account what some people may say or what they are deeming, especially if there's multiple people. I need to step back and look at myself and take check, because I don't want to offend or put anybody off because of the ministry that God has put on my life. So, that needs to be right. It is definitely is a big part in a person who's a quote unquote control freak.
Absolutely, that's an excellent point, Nikki. You know, guys, we're coming to the end of the show, and I want to quickly talk about moving on. And it's so important that we've talked about letting go, but we've learned to let go, we've identified the areas where we possibly may need to let go. It's now time for us to move forward. You know, hoping for something better in our lives while refusing to do something different contradicts and insults our intelligence. Change has to be a conscious act that requires you to apply truth to a strategy that's supported by behavior modification. So God wants us to move forward. God does not want us to be backward looking, going through life looking in the rear vision mirror. But so often we can't help ourselves. We remember the hurts of the past, remember the mistakes we made, and it's time now to look ahead and focus on what's before us. God wants us to do a new thing in our lives. He wants us to rise up to our full potential in Him. He has called us to do mighty things. He will even make a way when we feel lost, and refresh us when we're burning in the heat. We have got to keep on moving forward. It's the only way. It's only moving forward, guys, that we really accomplish what God has really called us to do. We can't stay where we're at, nor can we go backwards. The only direction we can go is forward. Yes, it can be hard. We've identified that today, but it's the only way if we want to move on and grow in God. Don't be afraid, people. Don't be afraid to keep moving forward. For what was before you now has gone. God wants to accomplish so much more in your lives, but we need to move forward in the Lord. So I want to get some closing comments from everybody in the panel tonight. It's been a great show, guys. Dr. Lorraine, what are your closing comments about letting go and moving on? What do you think have been the key tenets to today's show?
Well, I think there were so many key points that were hit on tonight and that were relevant to all of us. And I think if we can get to the place where we can recognize that sometimes in our childhood there were lies that were put into our hearts and our spirit and our mind, and the enemy capitalizes on those, and we take those lies into the future with us. And God wants to release us of those things, and He wants us to believe Him for the promise that He gave us, that He has a hope and a future for us. And so I think that if we can just get to that place where we're willing to let go of the past and trust Him for the future, that I can guarantee you that whatever future He has for you is something you can't even imagine for yourself. He has a plan, and it's to bless you, and it's not to harm you. So I would just encourage people to take that step. And if they haven't accepted Christ as their Savior, that He's right there. He is a prayer away, and He is there ready and willing to take you and give you a new life and make you that new creature in Christ and give you a future. So, and I just want to say thank you to John and Nikki and you, Raz, for sharing your hearts and sharing your lives and the encouragement that you've done tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on the show, Dr. Lorraine, and we'll look forward to having you on in the near future. And Dr. Lorraine, real quick, if people would like to contact you, if some people are going through some challenges, they need some personal one-on-one counseling from you, how would they be able to get hold of you?
They, well, first of all, since this is not just local, this is, I'm in Orange County, California, so, but my number is 714-225-8489, and if, you know, they can't meet with me, that's fine. There's people that I can refer them to, Christian Counseling Centers, just to kind of work on, you know, some of those areas that hold us back, because that's my heart's desire, because I do have my own past that God has freed me from, to be able to see people be moved from where they're at and be able to be freed up and be able all that God that has called them to be.
Absolutely. And Dr. Lynn, if they feel comfortable with you, I mean, you're also able to do Skype, correct?
Actually, I don't do Skype anymore. I have done a little bit when I have had clients that have had to go out of the country, and so I've, you know, been able to do that with them and when they went to Korea and things like that. But actually, no, my Skype has been down, so I'm not doing Skype at this time.
Okay, understood. Thanks for the information. We appreciate that. Nikki, I want to get your closing comments. What do you think of tonight's show? And what are your last closing comments on the area of letting go and moving forward in life and moving on?
I think that tonight's show was awesome, as usual, since I've been on the show starting. I think I came on in June. We've had a lot of relevant topics. It's not just the typical Christian station, but I believe that we talk about today's relevant issues to our lives. And my closing comments as far as the show, as far as the topic goes, is to trust God. God is, to whoever's listening to this, God is trying to stretch your faith. And it's not a coincidence that you happen to be listening to the show tonight. You have to let go those things in the past so God can propel you forward. But you have to trust God. And it going into a new area may be fearful. You may be fearful or afraid of it. But that's where you have to trust God, because fear also is an enemy to our faith. And you just have to trust and you just have to let go. I see in my mind, like someone standing on the edge of a stage in front of a stadium with a crowd of people, and how that artist would just turn around and fall back into the audience. He or she had to have some trust in the fans that they would catch them. What's the same analogy, but even better, with God? We have to turn around and just fall backwards and know that God is there to catch us. We can't fix it. God can, so we have to let go in order to go into the new area of life that God is taking us to. So just let go, and I'm going to always push it. Make sure that you get a daily devotional prayer life with the Father. And those are my closing remarks.
Wow. Awesome remark there, Nikki. We appreciate you for being on the show again. And man, Nikki's always a pleasure, man. I mean, you know, Nikki's a permanent member of Can We Talk, and she's been on the show, man. It's just brought a lot of energy to the show, man. We really appreciate you, Nikki. So thanks for that closing comment. And John, it's first time, and man, you did an awesome job tonight, John, man. I hope we're going to have you back real soon. And John, what are your closing comments? I mean, you've heard everything that was said tonight. I'm sure that as you were speaking, the Lord was speaking to you in your heart too. And what are your closing comments to people that are listening to your testimony, who are listening to the show right now, as far as letting go and moving on in life? What would you have to say to those people?
Let's start off with the show. Well, we're very thankful and feel greatly appreciated that my time was valued here and that I was able to talk. It's just awesome. And how Nikki was saying that, you know, God gives confirmation when things are said multiple times. And it's awesome that, you know, the topic was a lot of the same information, a lot of the stuff that was relevant was touched on multiple times through multiple different avenues of the different people. And it's just awesome to see God work through his people and in that brokenness and that willingness to be used, to see God move and to feel God and to sense God and to know that he's working in this. And it's just awesome. I love the family in Christ. It's something that I didn't have growing up, and it's just amazing to me. And with the letting go and moving forward, let's put it in an analogy like this. So you're a young kid, and you're playing baseball. You go to Little League, and you meet your friends and your peers, and you move on. You go to high school and junior high, and you play, you know, varsity baseball there. And you leave a lot of those younger friends behind that you met. And it's hard. It's hard when we make relationships and those relationships leave. But yet in that we have to move on because that's just what life does and we grow. And then you get to where you're playing varsity and you meet a lot of cool friends in life and some of them go down the wrong path and some of them become good and you become real good. And you have to say bye to those people and you have to let them go to go to college. And then you meet new people and you're excited. Hey, I'm glad I let those high school friends go. A lot of them ended up, you know, drunk and alcoholic, you know, pregnant, just really threw their lives away. And I'm glad I kind of let go of some of that. But yet it's still hard because those are my friends. Now you're in college and you're getting accepted to the pro ranks. And you're
hey,
going,
John,
man,
not to cut you off there, John. John, we have like a few seconds left real quick. I hate to cut you off, but need to bring the shoulder in hand real fast. You want to wrap it up real fast?
So basically what it comes down to is we have to let go of certain things to get to where we're going, and it's okay. That is okay because there is growth, and that growth is in Christ. And wherever he takes us is where we got to go.
Absolutely. Guys, you heard it on Cam. Guys, you heard it on Can We Talk. Tune in same time next week for Can We Talk Radio. I'm your host, Raz Williams. You heard it, guys. Let go.